Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-839-5518. 800-839-5518. That's 800-839-5518. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
Radio influence. The future is now.
Splink, splank, splunk. Things are looking good. Excuse me, Houston. Gotta make that noise every time you talk. People don't know what that noise really is. I've never figured it out. Sound like you're choking on cat hair as soon as you finish your sentence. We should probably do this, huh? Broadcast on the internet and do dangerous conversation. No, that really was a cat hair. How's a late microphone switch? Or an early one, depending on how you look at it. We should probably do this thing. Okay, let's do it.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210-story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy red pill can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
Check 1, 2.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Checking 1, 2. Hello. As we broadcast.
Hang on.
Setting my levels there. That's better. What's going on, internets? This was me last night. Let me see. I haven't used this thing in a while. This is me last night.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
Yeah. Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America. Elect. I'm smiling because I think Americans were so desperate for change that anybody that was anti-career politician, no matter how locker room the dude is, we're like, still better than the same old crap that's in Washington. Hillary's just another snake in a den of snakes, and we don't think Mr. Trump is or can be corrupted to be and become another snake in the den. that remains to be seen, but all I know is...
Holy shit!
Donald Trump!
Holy shit!
Donald Trump!
Holy shit!
He's the president of the United States of America. Thank you very much. Here's my other favorite one.
Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks.
Yes. I haven't used this in a while, have I? There's a whole bunch of things in here. There we go. Here's Ferris.
Wrecked him.
Donald Trump. What happened? Donald Trump.
Holy shit.
Is the
holy
new
shit
president.
Holy shit.
Wrecked him.
Wrecked her. What do you think Hillary's doing right now? By the way, this show is not live. I had to record it earlier today because I'm doing some fill-ins over at Beasley, and I'm on afternoon drive, and there's no way I can really do the show later in the day. It's just, the window to get it shit done is just too small.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
That was me. I was watching the TV over at Shea Ledge. And I'm just, you know, believe me, we'll be talking about Proposition 2 here, Amendment 2 in Florida passing, and medical cannabis finally coming into the state. And we'll also talk about the shenanigans between the power companies here in the state. Tried to fool us into some solar initiative that would have given you less opportunity in solar, whether it be your home, your business, a solar farm, if you want to start a solar business. By the way, yes, I will be working for one. And we weren't necessarily on pins and needles last night, but we were. I was pretty heavy in Twitter world. And if you think, you know, it's like I'm sitting there and it's like, I don't know, 12:31 in the morning, and CNN hadn't called Florida yet. Like everybody else had called Florida, and they're like, I don't know, there's still like 8 votes or something. You could tell how desperate they were. You can tell that the establishment wanted Hillary. Because she's an establishment politician, and she will do everything the establishment wants her to do. And I assumed they would just run their normal shenanigans on the old voting machines like they did in 2000, and they did it in 2004. They did it in Florida 1 year, and then 4 years later in Ohio. And I said, I think I said it on the last show, or when I was sitting in on Nancy's show, I still believe voting machines are corruptible, especially at a national level when it's very, very hard to keep track of all the different samples and amount of vote coming in and verifying those. But I think I'm hoping that we have enough watchers watching the watchers watching the watchers now. Maybe we've got enough people in voting precincts. I know where I voted, and I voted early. It was busy, and it was night. So there were more people, but there were a lot of people there volunteering officially, and I didn't talk to anybody. But I had the feeling that people are now way more aware that tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of votes can disappear. Look what the DNC did to Bernie. We'll get to that, too. That's kind of fun to watch. That's karma. That's what that is. I think Hillary's finally realizing nobody likes her. And don't get me wrong, I didn't vote for Trump. I voted Jill Stein. I voted my conscience. I voted no on one, yes on two, yes on the rest. I voted out every incumbent I could. I kind of douched it. My vote was like a douche. I was like, poosh. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the president.
Holy shit!
Of
holy shit!
The United
holy shit!
States is Donald fucking Trump! Wow. I bet in that first 100 days, you know, they have the first 100 days that he comes out and he does a press conference and he'll be wearing like one of those red satin Hugh Hefner Playboy robes and he'll be smoking a pipe. He'll be going, yeah, me and Len, we're just getting busy. What can I do for you guys? Oh, yeah, that whole president thing. Lauren Michaels better stroke a big check to Alec Baldwin. I put that on Facebook. Baldwin's going to have a permanent gig. This is just crazy. This is the best hashtag best election ever. EVA. best election ever. That's just beyond joy to me.
Wrecked him.
What did Donald do?
Wrecked him.
What did Mr. Trump? And believe me, I didn't vote for him.
Wrecked him.
But if I had to choose, I'd go, yeah, anti-establishment, establishment. Who knows? Who knows? You're not going to know until he's really...
balls deep.
When he gets that, when he gets to that level, you think, I missed my button bar. When Donald Trump gets to 100 days, then he's pretty much...
balls deep.
Into our government. And we'll see what happens. And they'll go, Mr. Trump, what after it's been 100 years, 100 days, what do you think?
I shot my wad.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
Donald Trump. Now, do you think the oligarchs and the industrialists and all the globalists sent him in a room, like Jesse Ventura said, and they basically said, well, you know, they show him the Kennedy assassination from a different camera angle, as Bill Hicks used to say. And Trump's like, oh, so you guys really are in charge. And they're like, yes, and you're going to do everything we want you to do, and you'll pretend to fight for these couple of things. And, you know, but if you don't, every person who ever wanted to sue you is going to get help, and we will come after you and impeach you. And you will do time in jail, Donald Trump. Or is he somehow outside of the snake pit? I don't see him outside the snake pit. I see him now, he's in the pit. And I'm hoping that his big mouth will put things out there that need to be done, and he'll just say it. And he'll say, hey, Congress, get your shit together. I don't know. You know, this is Donald Trump we're talking about here. I'm still, like last night, I'm looking at my TV, and I'm like pinching my, seriously, Donald Trump is, seriously, I absolutely thought it was rigged for Hillary. When we saw what the DNC did to Bernie Sanders, I figured, and we've seen the way that mainstream media or lamestream media helps her every step of the way, I just figured, it's in the bag for Hill. I guess it wasn't. I'm driving home from Shea Ledge, and I'm kind of like really following Proposition 1 and 2 here in Florida. Because they both penned, well, first of all, being a cannabis activist, I want to talk about these in order, so I will address this, but huge for me, personally, and almost on a spiritual level, but also business. I want to see it create many jobs, lots of good tax base, and that money stay right here in the state of Florida, and we see what part of this green rush is that some of the rest of the states are experiencing. We have four times the population of Colorado, and we have a lot of people in pain. Watch what happens to the medical cannabis market in the state of Florida in year one. And congratulations to California. People are like, man, I don't have to fly to Colorado. Now you got recreational. Well, actually, we'll go down each state. But yes, California got recreational marijuana. Many other states have voted for medical marijuana. And let me see. Well, I'll look at the pot map a little later. But right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Holy shit! Holy shit!
Yes!
Holy shit!
Donald fucking Trump! Mr. I mean, it's bad enough when, you know, Reagan and Schwarzenegger were actors and Ventura was a wrestler, but Donald Trump is like a reality star slash. I don't know. He went bankrupt, what, four times, six times, something like that? Yikes. You know, I would invest in Brondo right now. I bet that stock is going to soar. I'd go all the way on Brondo for Gordon Gekko. Gordon, all the way on Brondo.
Wrecked him.
Love it. I absolutely love anything that's not supposed to happen in this scripted left versus right bullshit where people are so finally waking up for different reasons. I said this on the last show. You know, my wake-up call was 9/11. Other people, it was 2008 and losing their home and so on and so forth. And people losing their jobs and watching more jobs transferred overseas and watching, you know, they always say the job sector is up under Obama. But yes, more jobs, but shitty pay. So unless you can increase the wage, unless you can get money in the hands and have it spent, you're never going to restart your engine. So I don't know about the minimum wage, but I do know it could use a nice bump. You know, libertarians say there shouldn't be one either way, minimum or maximum. Let the free market figure it out. I see that as well. But if you're going to jumpstart an economy, you got to put money in people, in the hands of people that spend it. Because they won't go out and buy a burger if they don't have money for a burger. So as you hopefully, Mr. Trump, address, at least for a couple of bucks, it's hard to tell how it's worked in states that have already, you know, shot it all the way up to 15 an hour. Because you really want 2 or 3 years worth of data. But some businesses did close down. Other businesses are prospering. Because there's more hand, there's more money in the hands of the people that make $25,000 to $40,000 a year. Maybe a couple more bucks an hour, you know, allows that person 2 more nights a month to go out and get some beers and buy some pizzas or go to a movie. You want to jumpstart an economy, people have to have the money in their hand to spend it. So that's how I feel about the minimum wage. It's tough if you're a small business owner and you get 10 employees. I think there should be some tax incentives for at least the first couple of years for small business if in some type of minimum wage is enacted, a higher version. In other words, that's done all the way through Congress and everything, and Trump is part of that. But I also think it should do something to help those small businesses the first couple of years because they're going to take a hit financially. So there's ways to do both. I don't know about Trump. I do know that he will never be boring. He will never be presidential. He will never be someone to, well, he'll bite his tongue enough now that he's in a position of power. He will be choosing his words more carefully. Who knows what happens to the lawsuits this man is facing? Who knows if now he's president, he's got the power to make those things go away? I don't know. All I know is none of us are going to be bored. None of us. We're all more engaged in the political process. It might be a sham of a political process. It might be a banana republic. It might be one that's on the ropes and coming off. And that's what I think it is. Not because I'm a Trump fan, but what him being elected represents is what I'm a fan of. People are like, she's completely establishment. She's been there 30 years, she's in bed with big banks, she's in bed with big oil, she's in bed with all of them. We will see no change. Who knows about wars and Trump? You know me, I'm anti-war. We're ever going to evolve as a species. We'll see. Jury's still out on that one. We'll be for a while. We're currently bombing 7 countries. And this is what? This is November 9th, 2016, and we're bombing 7 countries. Who all just happen to be somehow related to black gold, Texas tea. They certainly don't grow broccoli and corn there. We're not worried about a corn or any type of embargo. The PNAC people said we got to take over the Middle East, and it's been done. It was started by Bush, continued by Obama. Hillary said, you don't want to do it, I'll do it. She took out Libya. He's part of what's going on. By the way, people are waking up to the next boogeyman, ISIS, and where they're getting their money from. People are waking up. WikiLeaks may have derailed this woman. I'm not saying they didn't have help, but information is power. People learn more, and when they learn more, maybe they can make a slightly more educated opinion on who this person really is and what they represent. And what the next 4 years will be like from at least the presidency. Don't forget now, Republicans, as of last night, control all of Congress as well and the Senate. So if shit don't get done, they got no one to blame on the right. Question is, what do we see? Do we see an appointment of the Supreme Court and then somehow they go after Roe versus Wade or something like that? I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of fears about. And I'm going to play this from Stephen Colbert. We got a lot of good things queued up. But before, I want to set the mood. I definitely want to set the mood. This might
possibly be the best reaction to her candidate losing. Obviously, this woman was a Hillary freak. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I could play this on my show all day. All day.
It has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fucking fix this shit right now. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance. It has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fucking fix this shit right now. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance. I can't.
Something tells me that woman didn't vote for Trump. And I say woman, probably very young woman, maybe old teenager. I don't know. She's a very young girl. She's just slightly pissed off. She's slightly angry. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you can't play my... See, I'm on someone else's Twitter page and I'm playing it off of there. So, oh, one more. Come on. Just an encore performance.
That has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding.
Her face is so red. It looks like it's like when you're, you know, you get angry and your face gets flushed because all the blood's like rushing into your cheeks. This woman's face almost looks like the blood could actually come through the skin. She could be the first person to be so angry she bleeds from it right through her face.
You better fucking fix this shit right now. I literally am going to die. I need an ambulance. I can't. It has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening.
Really? Really?
I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding.
Her mouth's all foamy. She's got like, you know, like that. Hang on a second. I might have some. She got a little of that angry spittle going on. Like she looks like she might smoke meth. She doesn't, but she's got that white all around her, her mouth. Oh, come on now. What is there, a limit on my joy here? How many times I can play the same video over and over and over again? I'm sorry, ma'am. What was that?
I cannot believe this is happening.
What was that?
It has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fucking fix this shit right now.
Fix it. My dad's got an excellent set of tools. He can fix this. Well, maybe the fix wasn't in, because I thought it would be. You know me, when it comes to electric voting machines and people who are definitely doing the work of industrialists and globalists and oligarchs, and you know that they get all their money comes from them, filtered through banks and all kinds of speaking fees and the Clinton Foundation. And it was just one big socky, it was just like this, it was like a marsh. And it stunk, and it was just like, it's just like more stuff comes out, and you're like, listen, by the way, what do you think Hillary's legacy is going to be? Damn. 30 years of being around Washington, and this is how she gets the exit? Has to sit on the outside? Maybe she doesn't get to bomb another country this week? All right, we got to have fun with these. Let me see. This is Colbert. Very disappointed that his girl didn't win. And he gets a little philosophical here. I'll let this roll for a little bit here. These are good. I'm going to do Cenk as well. From Young Turks. Yeah, Bernie supporters on Twitter. To the DNC. We'll get to that. Let me see. Where's Mr. Colbert? Here he is right here.
I mean, we are more divided than ever as a nation. Do we have this graphic from earlier before? According to the Pew Research Center, more than 4 in 10 voters say the other party's policies are so misguided they pose a threat to the nation. But you know what? Everybody feels that way. And not only that, more than half of Democrats say the Republican Party makes them afraid. While 49% of, do I have this right? Is it 49% of Republicans say the same thing about the
55% of Democrats say that whatever the issues are specific, maybe it's a lot of different issues or opinions or policies that the Republican Party is constantly pimping, make them afraid for the way the country will turn out. I would like to see a breakdown of what they're talking about here, because it obviously works the same way the other way. 50% of Republicans say the same thing about the Democratic Party. So is it because, is it about socialism? Is it about hardcore religious beliefs? Is it how certain things just, you know, when you lean way left socially and you lean way right socially, you're not going to have a happy middle ground. Most people that are religion driven, especially their hardcore opinions about things like abortion, those people never waver. They'll always look at the opposite side as an enemy to be fought, because they're saving lives, in their opinion, anyway, at least in their opinion. And the same thing works from the opposite side. Is, you know, this 16-year-old girl wants to have an abortion. She's certainly not financially, fiscally. She's not even ready for the brain power of graduating high school yet. She's not fit to be a mom, and she deserves to have a choice to have an abortion. On the left-hand side, that makes a lot of sense. You don't need any more money wasted on yet another welfare check, and who knows if she gets into drugs or she becomes a bad parent. The father's nowhere to be seen. She wants to have an abortion. Well, people on the right look at that as, well, you're killing babies. So a lot of the stuff on the left and right where they point the finger at each other, they're called wedge issues for a reason. They always come up to every 2 years or every 4 years, depending on whatever election cycle we're talking about. They're used to also define people within their own political realms, as well as butt heads. And the media is like a maestro conducting an orchestra. Many media outlets, they all take their own specific argument. They all take which side of that fence they're on, and they hammer it. Now, they might actually believe what they're telling you, or they might be like Glenn Beck and change his mind every time a flea farts, because Glenn's new research shows him that his core audience is leaving him, so he has to recreate himself all over again and again. Don't get me wrong. If you change your opinion about things, that's one thing. If you're doing it for your little mini empire, then you're as phony as the politicians. So there are people on the left. Rachel Maddow definitely leans left. There are people on the right. Sean Hannity definitely leans right. They're not faking it. They're at least being who they are on both sides of that spectrem. They get it. Their passion is what they think will fix or create a better world. But I love watching them lose. Either side, man. I love watching them lose, because you really find out what people are like when they've lost, not when they've won. Hillary Clinton not giving a concession speech, at least a little bit of one last night or early this morning, definitely says a lot about her. Now, I'm recording this show. It's 20 after 12, a little bit after noon. I don't know if she's already made that speech. All I kept looking for it, and I couldn't find anything. I'm going to look at it, play a tune somewhere in the middle of this and see if I can find something. But let's go to Cenk from Young Turks. Let me see, which one is that? Here we go. Oh, actually, you know, a little bit more Stephen. I'm sorry. Here we go.
The Democratic Party. So both sides are terrified of the other side. And I think that's why the voting booth has a curtain, so you have some place to hide after the election's over. So how did our politics get so poisonous? I think it's because we overdosed, especially this year. We drank too much of the poison. You take a little bit of it so you can hate the other side. And it tastes kind of good. And you like how it feels. And there's a gentle high to the condemnation, right? And you know you're right, right? You know you're right. When I was a kid, we didn't think about politics this much. A lot, but not this much. I grew up in Watergate. That was my first president, was Nixon.
Wow.
I'd come home from school. Couldn't watch the Beverly Hillbillies because there was Senator Sam Ervin with the big eyebrows talking about crimes committed in the White House. That was a great dividing moment, I think, in American politics. That's the moment where we all stop trusting each other. Because Vietnam was wrapped up in that too. People were dying for political expediency rather than a cause they believed in. But as a kid, even with all that, we didn't talk about politics as much. We stuck with safe subjects. Like, you know, back then it was like, you know, you talk about religion at the dinner table or trying to guess which family member was gay, you know? back when it mattered, you know? Politics used to be something we thought about every 4 years, maybe 2 years if you didn't have a lot of social life, you know? You cared about the midterm elections. And that's good that we didn't think about it that much because it left room in our lives for other things and for other people. I'm from a big family. Jimmy, Eddie, Mary, Billy, Margot, Tommy, Jay, Peter, Paul, and Stephen. My mother was born 2 days before women could vote the first time in a presidential election. And again, we don't know what's going to happen, but I was thinking this was going to be the time that she got what she wanted. She told me at age 92, short before she died, oh, I think I would vote for Hillary this time. It's time. She only voted for one Democrat in her entire life. That was Kennedy. Because, spoiler alert, we're Catholic. Politics is a lot of horse race, and horse race is gambling. And gambling is, according to the Bible, a sin. Because it itself is a poison. Mm. Worrying about winning and not what the consequences of winning is. And I think the people who designed our democracy didn't want us in it all the time.
He's getting his little Trump stabs in there. He's a very disappointed guy. You can tell.
I'm informed, yes. Politicking all the time? I don't think so. Not divided that way. They designed an election that was meant to confuse us and bore us a little bit. That's why the Electoral College exists and C-SPAN. And why the State of the Union begins with 20 minutes of shaking hands with grandpas. But now politics is everywhere, and that takes up precious brain space we could be using to remember all the things we actually have in common. So whether your side won or lost, we don't have to do this for a while. So keep your American flag up, but you can take off your American flag hat. You can put away your I voted stickers, and you can get back to your life. And I'd like to try to end this election season right now by voting unanimously on a few things that all bring us together. And fair warning, some of these are silly. But in the face of...
Carlin used to do it, remember? We talk about all the divisiveness in media and how it's designed to create the wedge issue and the separation. And what did we come up with on our show? We call it 80-20. 80% of your life is exactly like mine. Go through the same emotions, love, hate, sadness, depression, loss, gain, excitement, overtired. You go through all the same human experience as I do. The only difference is you're a little taller, skin's darker, you're a different sex. All the things that they say make us different. Carlin did a great piece on it. And the reason I wanted this to go, I'm going to back it up a little bit, is because he's right. Stephen Colbert is right. Let's, as we have a little fun with this election, let's continue the process of education, knowledge. This is why I'm so jacked about what happened, not just with Proposition or Amendment 2 in Florida, but number one, which I'll talk about when we're done with the presidency, then we'll talk about the locals here. But Stephen makes some great points here.
A few things that all bring us together. And fair warning, some of these are silly. But in the face of something that might strike you as horrible, I think laughter is the best medicine. You cannot laugh and be afraid at the same time. And the devil cannot stand mockery. So here's some things Americans don't fight about. Here's one thing Americans can all agree on. When you agree on something, do you shout yes?
Yes!
Of course you do. Here's another. No matter where you stand on Hillary's private server, every American agrees, work email sucks.
Yes!
Also, no matter what your age, race, or political party, every American would agree that Kit Kat should be eaten in segments, not bitten into like a normal candy bar, you animal. And every red-blooded American knows that if you're ordering a bunch of pizzas, there's no reason to get a veggie one. No one's going to eat it. Plain cheese is veggie. And all of us, I believe that all of us, from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, know that there are too many Portlands. They need to be numbered. Oregon, you're Portland number two now. And if you make a living pranking people on YouTube, all Americans ask that you walk slowly into the ocean, then put that on Snapchat. And as Americans, there are things we will never forget, but none of us will ever remember what the War of 1812 was about. Were we mad at Canada or something? I don't know. For it was Martin Luther King who reminded us to judge people not by the color of their skin, but whether they reply all on mass emails. Deep down, Americans know Alex Trebek will never die, and if he does, it won't count because it was not in the form of a question. Real Americans believe that low gas light on your dashboard is not a warning but a challenge to see how far we can get on whatever amount of gas is left in the goddamn tank. I say we're making it to Tulsa. We stand united in our knowledge that the biggest selling point of Cool Whip isn't the taste but the fact that it's free Tupperware. It's time to set aside our differences and agree that we will pay extra for guac. It's nice to get a real card in the mail once in a while, and the first person to get up for seconds at a wedding buffet is a goddamn hero. And above all, everybody up! Everybody up! My country, 'tis of thee. My country, 'tis of thee. And above all, we as a nation agree that we should never, ever have another election like this one. Do you agree? Yeah! Now please, get out there, kiss a Democrat, go hug a Republican, give a Libertarian a reach around.
There it is.
I don't care. The election is over. You survived. Good night. And may God bless America.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
You know what? If you say you love your country, and Donald Trump's your prez, and you're a Hillary person, or a Bernie person, or you're just a progressive or liberal or what, how many fucking names do people have nowadays? Like these guys over here at the Young Turks. I like what Cenk has to say about what he's going to do to his own party after the debacle that was the DNC literally conspiring to make sure Bernie Sanders, an independent running inside the Democratic ticket, much easier to get on all those ballots, 50 states, boom, boom, boom. But who was an independent his whole life and a social Democrat. And they didn't want them. And they wanted Hillary. And Hillary wanted the gig. And the machine wanted Hillary. And the bankers wanted Hillary. But Bernie was actually on his way to getting the nomination. And they fucked him over. So the party that lost has got some house cleaning to do. And I like what Cenk has to say. I'm trying to remember where it was in this. It's all right. We got time. I want to play two or three different responses from people here. And I think we're good to go.
And united in fighting against them.
Here we go.
Some folks made the argument that if Trump wins, we will at least be galvanized and united in fighting against them. Well, it appears Trump has won. So we go to the guys who made that argument. We go to Jimmy Dore. And Jimmy, you know, I suspect that you have mixed feelings right now about Trump being president. But, you know, as you look around here and everybody is mad, et cetera, a little galvanized, right? So what do you think?
Well, that's exactly true, that we,
you know, the country has to come together now. The left is going to be united, maybe with the independents, and we see what happens. But it's, again, I'll make the same point I made about Richard Nixon, you know, as that if you remember the 68 election, it was crazy, right? There was the riots in the streets, so we had the Chicago and the whole thing. And so the country's been divided like this before. But remember, when Richard Nixon got elected, he passed OSHA, he passed the EPA, he proposed a health care plan that's better than the one we have right now. And that's because Americans got together. There was a civil rights movement. There was an anti-war movement. There were movements right now. So right now there's the Black Lives Matter movement. We need to have an anti-war movement. We need to come together and coalesce. And we need.
See, isn't it funny how that now Barack Obama is leaving office and, you know, Donald Trump being probably the more liberal version of a Republican his entire life. If he, I know the man was pretty much a Democrat his whole life. But anyway, he comes into office and, oh, suddenly the left is protesting the wars again. None of you guys said a fucking word for 8 years as we escalated and bombed and took out Libya, as we escalated and are bombing Yemen, as we escalated and are bombing parts of Turkey and parts of Syria and parts of Iraq and parts of Afghanistan. And now you want an anti-war movement because your boy's not in office anymore? Fuck you. We need an anti-war movement. Should have had one for the last 8 years. That's what really pissed me off most. Was not only did Obama not stop the wars and he broke all his promises, he, of course, escalated. Two more countries. Under his watch. Three more countries under his watch. Four more countries. We're bombing seven. Bush and Cheney only did two. So yes, the left is going to have to coalesce and come together in all these wonderful little phrases. I love the day after Election Day. When people get called out for how phony they are and leaning one way or another. And I didn't vote for Trump. But I am loving the proverbial stick in the spokes of the machine, even if it's Donald Trump, even if it gives people false hope, even if he never does anything, right now, it's way better than Hillary, the established neocon in progressive clothing. So that's where I stand with that. Let's let this guy go a little bit. This is the Young Turks. I think you'll hear Cenk talk about chewing out his own party, and this is what I want to get to when we play that, get to it.
To have the left and independents together, and it's up to us now, right? It's up to our country, and let's remember that the media had a big hand in this, in creating Donald Trump. They normalized his demagoguery by airing it 24/7 and giving him $2 billion in free money, free advertising. So don't listen to them anymore, right? That's, again, Bill Clinton made it so there's only six companies bringing us all of your news, right? And we're the antidote to that. So I'm, of course, no, we're all, he's an ugly person. It's a horrible thing that has happened. Now what we have to hope for and try to make happen is that he's such a flawed guy that he can't help himself. He'll still keep alienating the people that he needs to govern. He'll alienate Paul Ryan. He'll alienate Mitch McConnell. That's what we have to hope, and we have to work against them. Right now, I don't think Paul Ryan's again, they're all going to get behind power, but whether they're going to try to usher through his horrible proposals is a whole other thing.
But Jimmy, there's also the opposite side of that, of Paul Ryan and the hundreds of other Republicans didn't suddenly become just a rubber stamp on Trump, although they will serve as that in some ways. They also have their own crazy right-wing extreme agenda, and he's going to sign off on a lot of those bills. They now have a free pass to pass whatever crazy fucking legislation they want.
Yeah. I'm going to say it. Bernie Sanders don't seem so extreme anymore, does he?
Oh, he's a socialist. Look what's happening in Venezuela.
Well, yeah, that's because most capitalist countries were boycotting them. It's hard to get food in the streets when there's an ardent plan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending socialism, especially when that was backed by so much oil and not, let's say, driven by non-crony capitalism, which I do believe in, and getting to the point where it got so bad that it was only reliant on the oil imports. I'm sorry, oil exports for their money, and their system caved in. So Bernie Sanders wasn't that guy. But right now, I bet every person that voted for Hillary or wanted Hillary or didn't vote for Bernie is going, holy shit, what did we do to ourselves? The Democratic Party is to blame. From their viewpoint, if you voted for Trump and you're leaning right, then you're happy about the outcome. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the losers here today and how they're reacting to this. You, if you voted for this guy and he is your man and he is your new president, I will have, you know, at least the first year. I'll give the guy at least a year and a half to see what he's capable of, you know, because he's talking about rebuilding the infrastructure. I watched part of his speech. He's talking about spending money here at home. We'll see. Maybe he took a little bit from Bernie. But Bernie got fucked by the DNC. I bet he's somewhere laughing his ass off right now, throwing darts at a Hillary board or something like that.
If they want to repeal Obamacare on day one, they can, and he'll sign it. If they want to cut corporate taxes down to a third of what they are, they can, and he'll sign it.
I know this is we're in a tough spot here as Americans. This is what happens when the media and the Democratic Party are in bed together, I guess. This is what happens, right?
So Jimmy, let's keep it real. Look, on the one hand, I appreciate your argument before the election a little more than I did before. And I'll tell you why, because it allowed at least for a clean break. I'm not at all interested in talking about the Democratic Party in the way that it was. We're done with that, right? And when I say me, like, they can say, oh, yeah, Jack, whatever. Oh, you're done with us. So what? Okay, all right, well, let's see what happens. My guess is that our populist wing comes and kicks your ass left and right and all over the street, and we're going to take over that party, okay?
See what's going on? When you lose to Donald Trump, it is time to look in the mirror and go, wait a minute. Kennedy, like one of the most beloved presidents, was a Democrat. And now we've got this Hillary Clinton psychopath, power hungry, only worried about her own legacy, which now is going to suck. She's going to fall off like a shooting star. It's going to be real bright. And then, oh, Hillary who? Oh, is she still around? She won't be able to, like, you know, the Clinton Foundation won't be able to grease themselves for $750,000 when Bill gives a speech and Hillary suddenly makes it okay to cut down part of the Amazon rainforest through a couple of shenanigans. There goes that power in a couple of months. She'll be on the outside looking in. I'm loving it. Listen to... This is a man that qualified as liberal / progressive, and he's about to ream his own party. I love it.
Comes and kicks your ass left and right and all over the street, and we're going to take over that party, okay? So you're going to lose, and we're going to win, and we're done with it. So a stronger Democratic Party is monumentally important, and maybe this got us there, okay? So I appreciate that side of your argument. On the other hand, now that Trump appears to be president, the counter argument is also stronger. Like, oh boy, they could do, as John's just pointed out, they can do anything, Jimmy. They control the Senate and the House. They're going to get the Supreme Court. We handed almost unlimited power to a fascist wannabe. Buckle up. So are you not deeply, deeply concerned about that?
Yes, of course I am. I mean, we want...
Okay, this is what I see. I get it. You wanted someone who wasn't a politician. You got Donald Trump. Okay? You didn't get Mahatma Gandhi. You didn't get Martin Luther King. You got Trump. So on both sides... The left is imploding its own, by the way. It's good to see. It's good to see it imploding. And it's also going to be able to point at Donald every time he stubs his toe. If he does, who knows? maybe this is like our version of Harry Truman. A guy just, you know, give him hell, Harry. I don't know. And I won't know for about a year and a half. But right now, listen to the panic and the anger.
Warn them, you know, like when Barack Obama was repealing habeas corpus and signing Section 1021 of the NDA, we're saying, hey, you know, the next guy might not be a nice guy like you. He might be a maniac, right? And so guess what? We got one. It exactly happened. And what do you think Barack Obama's going to do from now until the end of his term? He's still going to fucking do everything he can to help his donors. He's still, you think he's going to go off to North Dakota? You think he's not going to try to pass the TPP? Do you think he's going to change? There's nothing in it for him, and he still can't help but drop to his knees for his donors. So you're right, Cenk. I mean, I don't know. You know, in 2 years, there's another election. Now, if Hillary Clinton was president, it would be a totally different off-year election. But now it's going to be a totally different off-year election. And Bernie Sanders has laid down the template. You don't need to take their money. If you talk to the people will support you. He outraised Hillary Clinton at $27 a clip. People are tired of establishment politics. That's what this is. It's the weirdest thing that the Republicans ran a populist and the Democrats went an establishment corporatist. But that's what happened, and this is the result. So in 2 years, we start right away, but we can, again, in a weird way, there's going to be horrible negatives, but we have to try to accent the positives, right? We can't get stuck. We can't be defeated, right? We have to now start working, and in 2 years, we can do some things, and then in 4 years, we can do some things. So populism is on the rise. I don't know if I think the Democrats are going to take the wrong message from this, Cenk. I think they're going to think they need to move farther right.
No, by the way,
again, we're done with them. So what
again, she picked Tim Kaine. After Bernie was filling stadiums and she couldn't get five people to come see her in a frickin' gymnasium, she still went to the right.
Well, you know, I talked earlier in the night about the things I was wrong about. Man, was I right about Tim Kaine. You know, because I said it wasn't about Tim Kaine. So the problem with the Tim Kaine pick is what it says about Hillary Clinton. And it says two things. One, I'm going to keep doing things exactly the way I've been doing them. I'm not. All that stuff right. About changing the platform. Yep. No. Power to the people. What people? What are you talking about? Okay, get away from me. No, we're going to keep on doing the same corporate stuff. But even more important than that, in terms of the results of the election, it signaled overconfidence. I don't need progressives. I don't need millennials. And what did I tell you earlier in the show? She wouldn't come on this program because she thought, 80 million unique viewers that are millennials, progressives, and some of them undecided. I don't need you. Oops. It turns out you needed us.
To be fair, she didn't want to go on any program. I mean,
no, she went on Fox News.
She went on Fox.
Well, that's
true. She'll go on any right-wing program because it's not that much of a challenge. They're not going to challenge her on her right-wing positions, which is her Achilles heel. That's her real problem. They're going to challenge her on nonsense like Benghazi, where she's right. Right?
Jake, everyone knows if you run a Republican against a Republican, they choose the Republican every time. We know this, right? So again, Howard Dean said 13 years ago, you want to know why half the people don't vote, you got to give them something to vote for, and all they did was give them something to vote against. And so Bernie Sanders gave people something to vote for, to come out for, and people did in droves. So did Trump, by the way. He was still filling stadiums to the last day. Hillary couldn't get five people to come here and talk. And so, again, everybody sticks their head in the sand and just keep, hopefully the donors are right this time. So the donors aren't right. Now the Trump has access to this complete surveillance state we live under.
Be interesting to see what he does with everything. Every presidential decree by Barack Obama can be almost essentially just come in with an eraser and go, no, we're getting rid of that one. You know, the stuff that never went through Congress where Obama acted like a king. I don't know, several hundred times, you know, kill lists and drones and all that. Trump can come in with, hopefully, and say, you know what? I don't like the idea that the NDAA exists. I don't like the idea that it basically circumvents the amendments to the Constitution and your personal rights. First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth, Fifth, Eighth. All of them. Get it out of there. It's in there. It's like one of those bills with pork, you know, where it's in the middle of something. You don't see it, but it's there. Most people don't talk about it, but it's there. Basically means you can be arrested for no cause. You can never get to see a lawyer. We could throw you in a hole for 20 years and never, ever, ever faced any type of retribution for it because the king said you're dangerous and a potential terrorist. See you later. Bye. Let's wait and see. It's going to be a little tough, but I don't know. I don't know if Trump would get rid of something like that. But I do know that there are some pissed off progressives. These, you should see their faces. I know this is radio and all, but you should see. These people are not just disgusted with the outcome, because they're not big Trump fans, obviously, but they're absolutely leaving the so-called Democratic Party. This is good stuff. This is how revolutions take place. It's not just one party breaks down. It's not just another. It's the system being called out. And that's really why I'm so stoked. It's because people did essentially, you know, Gary Johnson got a few percent and Jill Stein got, I think, 60,000 votes here in Florida. One of those was mine. But for the most part, people were literally trying to vote in their mind for the less typical political person. And that was Trump. And that's why he won. Populist versus a corporatist, which they define Hillary Clinton as, which normally doesn't qualify as a Democrat.
You can have access to every one of your emails, every one of your phone calls. Right now, a maniac like that has access to that, and he can put you in jail without a trial. That's in law. So right now, we've lost who we are as people. The Democratic Party completely turned their back on workers. They got in bed with Wall Street and Silicon Valley. This is the result. You can't. You have both parties turned. Brexit happened. This is our Brexit. This is happening right now. And still, they aren't going to learn the lesson. I think we've learned the lesson. I think we know what we have to do going forward. I think we need to raise our money $27 at a time. We need to take back over as much as we can of the Congress in 2 years. And so that's the silver lining, right? So that if she was president, we would have definitely, it would have been a Republican solid. We can change things in 2 years. We can change things in 4 years.
But so aren't you guys worried that with Congress being completely taken over by Republicans, with a right-winger like Donald Trump, I mean, we're worried about voter suppression laws that were, or voter suppression that took place during this election. You don't think that they're going to pull the same shit in 2 years?
Yeah.
And
oh
do it God. Worse?
They
do it
are,
worse.
They are. But there's going to be something different, okay? So this is the thing they're not counting on. It's going to be a different media. So let me explain. In the last year alone, television has lost 40% of their viewers who are aged 18 to 24. In 1 year, they lost 40%, okay? So now, look, I know it takes a little while, and it's not just 18, 24-year-olds. They're losing in every bracket above the age of 55. They're dropping like a rock, like a rock. The NFL's trying to figure out, hey, how come nobody's watching the NFL anymore? What's wrong with the NFL? There's nothing wrong with the NFL. It's just people aren't watching TV anymore, right? So in the old days, they controlled the media. So they just put on their Mark Halperins and George Scarboroughs, and they just do the same old, and then they do this nonsense, meet the press, patty cakes, right? And he said, she said, I can't tell the difference. Now there's a new media, and the new media is honest and so and aggressive. Yeah.
Yay. Absolutely. I've been saying that since I started the podcast, but three and a half years ago, people say, hey, I'm doing a show. I'm like, good for you. Get out there. Well, you know, I'm not a professional. Doesn't matter. Get out there with an opinion. Bring a crew, your friends. Build a studio. Shake your fist at the world, at the universe, man. Get your voice out there. The more voices, the better. Some are going to make money. These guys are making money. This video I'm watching is not even 24 hours old, and yeah, by the way, they have 3.1 mil. That's solid. Doesn't mean everyone's going to make money on the net, but it does mean the net is the place where we are now flocking to form our opinions. People have Google. People can ask, type in WikiLeaks. People can read. People can watch videos and documentaries now. They can't control the message anymore. The dam is broken wide open. The reason Hillary lost is a lot of things, but it's also the fact that WikiLeaks showed you. Not only was Bernie Sanders fucked over within that party, but some of what Hillary's up to with Bill is basically the greasy shenanigans of politics. Oh, you don't pay me. That would be illegal. You pay Bill to speak.
And then I do the favor. See? But now the new media is feeling empowered. And this is what I want to talk about. We're almost done with the president thing here. Got a little bit more to get to. And then we'll get to amendments 1 and 2 here in Florida. But listen to what he says about new media.
You're dropping like a rock, like a rock. The NFL's trying to figure out, hey, how come nobody's watching the NFL anymore? What's wrong with the NFL? There's nothing wrong with the NFL. It's just people aren't watching TV anymore, right? So in the old days, they controlled the media. So they just put on their Mark Halperins and George Scarboroughs, and they just do the same old, and then they do this nonsense, meet the press, patty cakes, right? And he said, she said, I can't tell the difference. Now there's a new media, and the new media is honest and so and aggressive. Yes, that's us, right? But it'll be others, right? And so, right, before on Election Day, the very last thing I read before I got on the air 12 hours ago was the media was talking about who's going to have clowns on air among the digital media properties and who's going to have musicians and who's going to have this and who's going to have that. And we came here to do a serious show. We have fun, you know, we joke around, but we're our mission is serious, and we're serious about the news, and we care about the news. You know what they're going to do? They're going to copy us because we got the audience. So the more they copy us, the more it's going to build and build and build. And so within two years from now, we're not going to listen to mealy-mouthed media telling us, oh, it could be either way. It could be this or it could be that. We are going to fight back so aggressively. And we're going to go after, it's 50-state strategy. We're going to go after Republican voters. We're going to go after independent voters. And we're not going to be shy about it. So the brakes are off. So we're not going to have the Queensbury rules or whatever they call it, like the Democrats play on.
Duchess
of
Queensbury?
Yeah, yeah. No, God, fuck the Queensbury rules, okay? So now
there you go. The gloves are off. Bernie Sanders supporters on Twitter erupt in anger against the Democratic National Convention. We tried to warn you. As Donald Trump continues to win battleground states, well, obviously this is an old story, Bernie Sanders supporters are shaming the DNC for nominating Hillary Clinton. The dominant mood on social media is that Clinton's floundering election hopes are the fault of the DNC for rigging the Democratic primary in Hillary Clinton's favor. Popular pro-Sanders Twitter accounts are going viral over the news of Donald Trump carrying North Carolina and Ohio. And he got Florida, too. Some of this stuff's a little late. Others lamented on significant losses for Democratic U.S. Senate and congressional candidates who fell short of the votes needed to reassert Democratic control of the respective legislative bodies. Anna from the Young Turks. Tweets. Dems have a candidate that could have destroyed Trump, but the DNC just had to fuck things up. Congrats, establishment. Enjoy the destruction. Anonymous, Democratic Party did this to themselves when they shanked Bernie. Katie King tweets, many Dems losing the House and Senate election. All I can think is if Bernie was on top of the ticket, that wouldn't be happening. The lesson from tonight's Dem loss, time for Democrats to start listening to the voters.
Yeah.
Stop running the same establishment candidates. Yeah, there's a nice little bitch slap going on there. Good to see. All right. Rachel Maddow.
It's real.
This is Rachel Maddow.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
I love it.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real. You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
There you go. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, here's someone crying.
Hello,
darkness, my old friend.
It's a video. Hillary supporters all crying. Big giant groups of people hugging. Oh, there's more crying. A vision softly creeping. Bernie Sanders was just... Left its seeds while I was wow. Sleeping. Wow, look at them all. And the vision that was planted in my brain. You know what this is called? This is called your wake-up day. Stop going after corporate-driven... Oh, God. Just... Hillary. Okay, I get it. You're a woman. You're a woman voter. You want, you know, history to be made. You want a female president? Great. But let's get it on the merit of the person, not the genetics of the person. Jill Stein could have been that person. By the way, advice to Jill Stein, run for a Senate seat. If you want to get into politics, stop running for president. You've never held a seat. Get in the machine where more and more people can meet you and you can create some type of positive change on a local level. Build that resume and show it to people. Same thing with Gary Johnson. I know libertarians aren't frustrated. They were frustrated in 2012 when Ron Paul got the shaft. But I think the libertarian movement is growing. Small baby steps. Bob Wiley all over it. And it's good to see. Good to see Libertarian Party growing. It's good to see the Greens growing. It's good to see third, fourth, fifth, sixth opinions in a room. That's what a republic is supposed to be about. That's what the Senate is supposed to represent, as well as the House of Representatives. Many opinions from many people across a great land. We have gotten away from that. So third, fourth, and fifth parties are slowly... A lot of independents. I'm a registered independent, have been my entire life. Let's see what happens in the next, you know, year and a half with Trump. It's either, it's either going to get better, it's going to get worse. And right now, I'm not going to make any predictions. It's a little too early to say. But here we go, here we go.
Hello, darkness, this woman, my old friend.
There is a man, like, weeping.
I've come to talk with you again.
That's kind of rough.
Because a vision softly.
Oh, come on. Give me just a couple more pissed off people. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, there's a Trump guy. He's a Trump guy.
It's Trump Day. It's Wednesday hump day, but I call it Trump Day now. We did it. We absolutely did it. We went against the establishment, the media, the left, the right, probably the strongest political machine in the United States history. And we did it because of our hard work, you know, and
he's going to cry. He's going to cry. This is Trump. Well, they've had Clinton tears. This is Trump tears. These are victory tears. These are good tears. Hang on a second. Come on now.
To give all the praise.
There it is.
Because it was tough. It was really tough. It was tough on my family. It was tough on a lot of my friendships. I lost a lot of friends in this election. And we went through. We had to fight every single allegation, every negative press. It just was never ending. It was like...
Well, that's because he's a dick. Sorry. Donald Trump isn't exactly the guy that you picture as a president. And maybe he's going to be... smooth talking, shooting from the hip, getting things done, president. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. All I know is his past, and he's a dick. He is. Sorry there, crybaby. That's all the airtime you're getting. Oh. By the way, the hashtag I'm on right now for all these great videos, not my president. Hashtag. Oh, come on, just one more. One for the band. One for the road. Just like one for the road. Here we go.
It has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to fucking kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fucking fix this shit
15,000 retweets. If you wanted to be famous there, Sweet Cheeks, you are. Wow. Too much fun. I just typed, I bet she's really fun on a date, when I retweeted that, by the way. The average Democrat. People are tweeting back to me. All right, Mr. Younger, appreciate it. What can I say about guys like Ben Pallera, United for Care, and John Morgan, who put $8 million of his own bucks over the last 4 years so we could get medical cannabis here in the state of Florida? As we look at that, I posted a really cool pie chart the other day of cannabis, the CBD side and the THC side, and the sativa versus the indica, and the many blends of those four combinations. And they're really starting to refine the medicine already. But when it becomes legal, that means it can be grown legally. And if it can be grown legally, it can go into laboratories where more medicines can be created from it. Not just some raw oil or, you know, Rick Simpson oil you put under your tongue, or just, you know, you make your own oils and you use a suppository or something to deliver your medicines. Maybe it's your child who's seizures. You have to admit, that's just the raw medicine of the plant. What if, not a what if, wait for the day that lots of different medical institutions are out there. I know Dr. Bob in Colorado has got his own thing going on where they're starting to not just grow their own strains and get specific strains for, like, Charlotte's Web is a, you know, CBD heavy, THC light, no THC hardly at all, specifically for what it serves. Well, there's going to be hundreds of versions of that. I'm not Charlotte's Web. There's going to be hundreds of versions of different strains of marijuana, everything from boner meds to creativity to energy to sleep to pain relief to the big boys, you know, like Alzheimer's treatments and glaucoma. And as we just go down that chart of so many different ways that one plant can be finally legally distributed. And I think that's what I'm the most excited about. Will I get it a card? Yes, I will. I'll be seeing a doctor and getting a card. I got a couple things that I need to talk to him about. And I plan on buying my cannabis legally. I can't wait to go into the shop. First, I'm going to fill out a job application when I walk in. And then I'm going to walk in and there's going to be this big glass case, like you're walking into a diamond ring store and you're like, oh, let me see that watch. Oh, let me see that ring over there. And someone on the other side of there is going to go, okay, this is going to help you with your inflammation in your knee and your shoulder from sports injuries. Really? Yeah, the CBDs are, and bam, bam, medicine. And I've got an idea for a business. I've got to talk to the right people, but for Florida and me, medicine. People go, oh, you just want to get high. No, I want choices. If someone says I got a tumor growing somewhere, I want the choice to have a refined medicine made from the cannabis plant that's now specifically designed to attack a specific kind of tumor in a specific location of my body, and I want that fucking choice. And now I got it. There's going to be a big industry. There's going to be a lot of money made. There's going to be a lot of tax revenue generated. But at the end of the day, your grandmother who lives in Florida can get off of opiates and not suffer all the side effects and or a couple of close overdoses. One of my best friends in the world lost his daughter to partying with opiates. And I'm guilty of having done that, but I was a smart guy, you know, never overdid it. But people that just take opiates for pain and pain relief, now we'll have a second choice. And wait a couple of years until, like I said, it is refined. That oil caplet is now a specific strain of sativa indica combo with heavy CBD and light THC. It's going to be perfect to help you sleep at night. And it has nice, no psychoactive response. It won't get you high, ma'am.
but it will help you with your pain. She has that choice now. California, so many other states now checking in and saying yes to recreational cannabis. We could have as many as, what, 7 states with recreational cannabis. Over 30 states with at least medicinal marijuana. East and West Coast are covered. California, Massachusetts, both passed recreational cannabis. You know, I got relatives in New England. Need to go visit more often. It's good to see. Education. That's the difference. And it takes money. But maybe it doesn't because, you know, again, John Morgan and people that put their money where their mouth was and got on radio stations and did debates. John actually debated a woman from Say No to Two. She was well informed, but lied through her teeth. And in my opinion, he won the debate of the so-called dangerous pot shops down the street from your school and your kids. You won't see any of that, I promise you. You won't see any of that. That won't be allowed in zoning. Simply won't be allowed. You won't be able to be within a half a mile of his school. So the fear factor didn't work, and the education did. Because 2 years ago, it needed 60%. It got to 58. This year, it was at close to 70. That means 12% of the population of Florida changed their mind when it came to medical cannabis. And they did that because of shows, podcasts, Twitter, Facebook, you guys. Learning a topic, going into a chat room, being willing to call people out that are saying, oh, it's a gateway drug, and showing them statistics and facts, not just the money side that's going to be huge in Florida. You think what, Denver did what? $4 billion, something like that, something ridiculous? No. That would be all the states. Yeah, Denver, I think, did $900 million the first year. Denver's got 5 million people, most of them young. Florida's got 20 million people, most of them old. You want to see the market absolutely go through the roof? Watch Florida. It's going to be amazing. I'm geeked. And yes, I'm going to be part of it. I don't know. I'll push a broom if I can be around that. I don't care. John Morgan spent $4 million of his own money this time around again. A lot of people spent a lot of money. And we now have medical cannabis in Florida. Proposition 1, which was turned out cleverly worded anti-solar legislation, or a change to the Constitution, better, it wasn't legislation, it was an amendment, was worded to make it sound all warm and fuzzy. We're bringing solar energy. We're going to make it so much easier for you people. Oh, yeah, yeah. $25 million spent by Duke Energy and TECO and a couple other companies to lie to us to make it sound like, oh, we're going to protect your right in a constitution. We're going to change it. No, what they wanted to do was change the Constitution so they'd have more control over the flow of energy in Florida, and they don't want you creating 10 kilowatts of electricity on your roof every day. They want to be the only persons doing that. They spend $25 million in the state of Florida to try to trick people. And this is why I'm going to wrap the show with this conversation. Everything that changed because of Proposition 1. I remember 2 years ago, they first came out with number 4 and number 1. And everybody was like, they're very confusing. Which one do I vote on? And I had to read them. I'm not good at that because I'm not good with all the legalese. But then little by little, more and more people were reading them. And 4 did well in August, by the way. It was something voted on separately. And one came in, and everybody's like, oh, you know, I've seen the ads on TV, and it's going to reduce carbon emissions, and it's solar energy, and it's good for us. No. And this thing needed 60%, just like the cannabis one did, which cranked in at just over 70. It needed 60% approval to become a new amendment to the Florida Constitution. Well, it was trending a month ago. It was trending at like 67%. It was almost 70% of the people in this country, in the state of Florida, believe that Amendment 1 was a good constitutional amendment to make solar energy basically just, you know, make it rain sunshine in Florida. You know, more options for you, or if you own a condo, or if you have some land or whatever. And including the business side. This is when I want to address on both of sides here. But first, before I get into how cool it is to see a true grassroots movement on social media kick Big Energy's ass last night, I'd be remiss if I didn't just, you know, one more time. Well, maybe.
Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
I have to admit, I went in nervous. You go in nervous. Yesterday, I went in very nervous, thinking, well, I hope Proposition 2 passes. I'd really like a couple of small medical issues I've got to be able to be treated, but I really want to see what happens in the market. I really want to see what happens business-wise and people having choices, and let's watch the accidental overdose rate drop, because in every state that has medical marijuana, the opiate accidental death overdose percentages have dropped. Fewer people are on opiates. Fewer people die of opiates. Bada bing. It's not so difficult. So now we have it in Florida. And I really don't want to talk about my business venture, but I think I got a niche. And I'm kind of excited about it. But I also, and now that number one didn't pass, and businesses like Bright Energies can come into Florida and not be overregulated or regulated right out of business. That's really what one was about, was keeping, it's essentially this. They produce all the electricity. They have a monopoly. Now, if I look around the Tampa Bay area and I see all those homes and schools and carports and farms, and I say, look at all that sunshine. It's just like raining money falling from the sky. What if we paid for them to go on your roof? Yeah, we'll just rent your space. You get a lower electric bill. We just rent your space. You don't have to pay a penny for them. We'll get into that, by the way, and I will have a website. The podcast won't ever be some infomercial, but I am going to reach out to you guys once the website and the business of my solar business starts up and running. They're opening an office here in town, myself and another cool guy. I've been kind of patiently waiting for all this to take place. So I will be doing solar energy here in the Bay Area, and if you do listen and you're interested, there'll be a time and a place for that. Okay? I don't use my podcast to pitch a business. But I do talk about my excitement about being involved in the business. And I'm completely stoked. I've been waiting for solar energy since I got into it in 2004. And I was like, man, I live in the fucking Sunshine State. Massachusetts is kicking our ass. Colorado, you know, places you don't even think of solar energy are kicking Florida's butt when it comes to the amount of kilowatts, gigawatts, megawatts, or terawatts produced by sunshine and solar panels. And now the floodgates are open thanks to a grassroots movement of people that read that legislation and said, no, it's trickery. They're trying to keep the farmer from turning his 10 acres into a solar farm. They're trying to stop the person that owns that apartment complex from using all of that those carport space to produce enough electricity to power his entire apartment complex. Tesla batteries, one of the first but definitely not the last way to store energy at night and use your solar panels to light your walkway to your pool and realize you're not burning any hydrocarbons. You're changing the world for the better. Solar panels are going to do that. They're going to do that for you personally if you choose that. They're going to do it for financially for many people, including me. I can't wait to get out and sell something that sells itself. It's not a difficult ride. But the reason I'm so stoked about it is because a month ago, that bullshit that needed 60% was trending at 67, 68. And I was like, man, people are being fooled by this. And then suddenly, oh, Facebook, Twitter, local news reports, newspapers coming out against it. The flow of information where people realized they were being bullshitted by a bunch of con men in big suits for big electric companies in the state of Florida. And a true grassroots venture shot it the fuck down. It dropped 20 points in about a month. Information is power. Pardon the pun, but it literally is when it comes to solar power. But yeah, people are learning, man. People are using the internet more. Like Jenk said, it's not the NFL ratings are going down. TV viewership is going down. People don't trust the news anymore. 9% of the people in our country trust the news, and 9% of them liked both candidates, and I think 8 or 7% people liked Congress. They just douched Congress again. But Proposition Amendment 1 failed because information spread, people shared it. People were doing it on my Facebook page. I would ask them, here, look at this article from the Miami Herald. They are telling you the truth about Amendment 1. And people learned, and down it goes Frazier. It's awesome. So last night, not only, you know, the Trump train, like, oh my God, Donald Trump.
Holy shit.
He's our president.
Holy shit. Holy shit!
But both locally here in the state, as Alexander Snitker and Danielle Alexander like to say, you want to make changes, go local. That's where you're going to have the most say. And that's really what happened in the state of Florida. We spoke out about medical marijuana. We spoke out about sunshine in the solar state. And I'm stoked. I appreciate you guys hanging out and listening. Bigger plans in 2017 for this podcast. But as you can tell, my plate's kind of full. I'm going to be doing a little bit of terrestrial and hopefully one specialty terrestrial show and talks to do that. Then the podcast, Dangerous Conversation. Got to keep doing that. Great. Everything's going really well with the show and Radio Influence and everything else. Plus, it's cathartic for me to just do it. Hang on a second. And then my affiliation with Bright Energies and my soon-to-be-announced, well, maybe a little later, announcement that I will be collecting a paycheck and helping spread the word about cannabis. And who knows, right after cannabis gets fully, I don't know if Barack Obama is going to do that before he leaves office, but the way the vote went last night and every state that wanted more cannabis, medical and or recreational, got it, that is just a question of time before they deschedule it. And then the banks can handle the money. Not that I'm a big fan of banks, but, you know, if you, let's say you have a small grow / dispensary here in the Tampa Bay area, well, hopefully you take that money and you put it in a local credit union. So everything stays local. The employee, their paycheck, the product, the tax money, everything stays local. That's how you create change. When people used to talk, oh, man, you're just a pothead. You just want to smoke pot. I'm like, you don't understand what cannabis represents and hemp. Wait until hemp becomes legal to grow in more states. And watch the products. Everything from building materials to paper to fuel to food. Again, grown local, taxed local, grown by local employees whose money hopefully stays local. That's the green rush. It's going to be on the energy sector, too. It's going to be a little slower there because big oil and big carbon, they got a lot of money to fight with. But what I learned from last night is that if you care about something locally enough and you do a good job of discussing it publicly, more and more people become empowered and more people can make an informed decision. That's all it's ever been. That's all Dangerous Conversation's ever been about is, you don't believe me? Yeah, really? Well, you know, go watch this video from Architects and Engineers and get back to me. No, you don't believe me? Oh, well, go look at this documentary called A Noble Lie and get back to me. So that's what DC's always been about. That's what the crew's always been about. By the way, we will do a reunion show before the end of the year. I got to start. I'm starting to reach out to people now. But as many as possible, I'd like to get as many as 5-6 people in a round table. And that includes guys like Ferris and Four Toed and maybe Rick and some other guys. So keep that in mind. All right. I think we're good. We're good. When it comes to politics, most of it is a dog and pony show. But every once in a while, a stick gets in the spokes. Maybe that's who this Trump guy is. I don't know. Obviously, if you're a woman and you're a feminist, he's not your guy. I get it. And I can certainly see why you don't like him. But I can also see that right now, people chose the anti-politician politician. And to me, that is a sign that people are absolutely sure that the system is locked and loaded and rigged against them. We saw that on the left with the DNC and Bernie Sanders, and we saw how that came back and blew up in their fucking faces. Now, the right's got control. What happens if their guy goes, you know, Looney Tunes? But the good thing, and this is what I'm most proud of, is more people are engaged, more people are caring, more people are concerned, at least trying to pay attention. Maybe they go to the websites that lean right, maybe they go to the ones that lean left, but you know what? They are curious, they are pissed, they want information, they want the truth, they want accountability from everything from our law enforcement officers to our politicians. Slowly but surely, this country is waking up. Could you not? We're not there with Europe yet because they've got a couple thousand years of experience on us. But more and more people are getting involved. Whatever way you lean, hey, try to make a difference. Try to learn something. Come up with an opinion. Get involved. I don't care if you become a member of the PTA. I don't care what it takes. Get involved somewhere with something that can help change the world incrementally for the better. That's what Dangerous Conversations' goal has always been. You guys are awesome. I will talk to you next week. Thanks for hanging out.
This is a Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
If you're just starting to listen to Beyond the Badge, Beyond the Badge talks about the top police cases facing the country today that we all see in mainstream media, but I do it from a twist. I do it from a police point of view. I give it to you real, I give it to you raw, and contrary to what people will say, I give it to you unbiased, because when I see BS, I call BS. But I will tell you, when I see something that is not BS, that mainstream media is making police to look one way or to make them look this way, or certain groups are making police look that way, I call them on it, and anybody that's listened to this show in the past will tell you Vincent Hill will give it to you real, raw, uncut, and he will give you the truth.
Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.